Are you ready to hear the word today? Come on. Warning. I got a warning about this sermon. A warning. You will get your toes stepped on. Amen. You know, it's amazing when you have a 98-year-old Ruth on her deathbed and looks at me in my eyes and says, "Pastor Jeff, if I ever get out of line, I want you to straighten me out." Come on, help me out a little bit. I got ornery with her. You know what I told her? I said, "Ruth, if God hadn't straightened you out in 98 years, what makes you think I can?" Amen. But we all need straightened out. Amen. Jesus said, "Great peace of they that love my word, and nothing shall by any means offend them." And if it gets offensive today, listen, just... And you know, it's amazing. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I can hear somebody in my spirit say this. "I wish so-and-so could hear this." You are the so-and-so today. Come on. You are the so-and-so. You're here, those watching by line, online. And, you know, a lot of prayer goes into these messages, a lot of time, a lot of meditation, and always coming out of a communication with God. But I'm gonna preach a message today that, first of all, I need to hear. And it's called Choose Love. Love is a choice. Choose love. This past Friday, we celebrated Valentine's Day. I hope some of you are still hooked there. And it originated as a Christian feast day honoring a martyr named Valentine, if you've ever looked it up. And it then became a cultural, religious, and commercial celebration of romance and love in many regions of the world. And they predicted, this was an estimate from last Friday, I don't know if they got the tally in, but the National Retail Federation estimated that Americans would spend a record $27.5 billion from gifts like flowers, cards, chocolates, and extravagant nights out. Boy, me and my wife had an extravagant night out. We babysat. So, but that's such a good thing, right? There was no extravagance. You'd be so proud of me, because Valentine's Day, when I finally made it home, I knew my wife had the baby all day long, and I knew she was struggling. I knew she was tired. I said, "Honey, go on upstairs. I want you to get a rest. I'll watch him from the rest of the night." I changed 2 poopy diapers. You'd be proud of me. And what was so frustrating, I got some under my fingernail, like, oh, it was, oh. And my flesh was saying, "Go back, get her, go get her." And I said, no, I can't, I promise, no. I chose love, praise God, hallelujah. There's a price to pay for choosing love, isn't there? And we're going to get into that. And some of the romance and love relationships will never last. Many are temporal, but thank God for the ones that do last. Amen. Love that is based on looks, feelings, and emotions soon fades away because it's conditional. That's it. The only love that has the power, listen closely, the only love that has the power to last is the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's the kind of love that we have to choose to, we have to yield to, if it's going to make any difference in our lives at all. Come on, help me just a little bit. Amen. I want to start out with one of the most powerful, most read, most quoted Bible scriptures. And Ashley's going to get up there, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting." God chose love and therefore sent his only Son. You know, God had a choice to make. And we're going to show you a few things in the Bible here this morning, but God had a choice to make after mankind willingly sinned and willingly disobeyed what he told them not to do. Willingly. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and that's who every one of us were before we got saved. Amen. Romans 5:6-8 says this. "For when we were yet without strength, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That was us. Amen. For scarcely for a righteous man will die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. There are very few. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, while we were yet unlovable, while we wanted to have our own way in life, listen, Christ died for us. It was a choice. God had a choice to make. Instead of judgment, God chose love, which produced mercy. And after the fall of man, God had to make a decision. And that decision was based upon who he is, his character, his unconditional supernatural love that is more powerful than the human mind can ever imagine. Now, I want you to stay with me here because God hated what Adam and Eve did. I'm going to show you here. You know, God's got feelings. He created them. He blessed them with everything they would ever need. He formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, brought them to Adam, allowed Adam to name every one of them, and what Adam called them is what they became. What a blessing. That's why you better watch what you say, because words are very, very important. Then God puts Adam to sleep, pulls out a rib, closed him back up, made a woman out of his rib, brought her to Adam, and Adam said, "Whoa, man." And she's been called woman ever since. That's the truth. That's how it all started. He said, "Oh, whoa, this ain't nothing like the birds or the cattle. Oh, my God. Oh, man." But before God made Eve, before he ever even made Eve, he put Adam in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And he commanded Adam. Let me just say this. When God commands you to do something, it's not an option. "Yeah, but I don't feel..." It's not based on your feelings. Listen, it's a command. He commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, "Listen, every tree of the garden, other than this tree, you may eat of freely. If you want a pear, go grab a pear off the pear tree. You want an orange? Go grab an orange off the tree." And I tell you what, that fruit was something else. You talk about sun-kissed, don't have anything on what God first created. God blessed Adam and Eve with everything they ever needed, and still they betrayed him. Think about that for a minute. Still they betrayed him. God was very upset. He didn't like it. He has feelings. He told Eve, "I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow, you're going to bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you." But we don't like to hear that part. And then he told Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife, even when she was wrong, and you ate of that tree," he said, "cursed is the ground for your sake." Just want to show you a little bit of that. We got time. This is a Bible study this morning. I know some of you already had one. You're going to get another one. Amen. You can't get too much word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16-19. To the woman, he said, "I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow, you're going to bring forth children." You're going to have pain. Well, later on, man tried to relieve that pain and come up with epidurals. So I've heard women say, "Just knock me out and take the baby and wake me up when it's over." Yeah. He said, "In sorrow, you're going to bring forth children. Pain, your desire to be to your husband. He'll rule over you." Adam said, he said to Adam in verse 17, "Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, has eaten of the tree which I commanded you, I told you, don't eat of it." He said, "Now the ground is cursed for your sake. In sorrow you'll eat it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of your face you're going to eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of the ground you was taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return to. And I want to read verses 23 and 24. Therefore, the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken out of. And he drove the man out, and he placed in the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims, angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God pre-warned Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, because I want you to know that God is a just God. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For the day that you eat therein, you shall surely die. Listen, what a command and a warning from God. How many times does God warn his people not to do something and they still do it? Come on. Adam and Eve died spiritually the moment they ate of the tree. Spiritually separated from God. It took Adam over 900 years to die physically, but he finally died at the age of 930. That's how long it took him to die physically. And physical death is the last enemy to be conquered, and it's not going to be long till it is conquered. Amen. It's not going to be long. Trust me, it's not going to be long. I like what Ruth told me. It won't be long. I said, I know. Just go when you're ready. When you see that angel, just go. Go, go. Amen. Even after Adam and Eve sinned against God, God had a choice to make, and he chose love. He could have immediately eliminated them. He could have. He gave them a second chance. He made clothes for them out of animal skins, put them right back in the land that he made Adam from. But years later, man was at it again. Man has always screwed up. Isn't that right? Years later, they were at it again, totally turning their back on the very God who created them. Genesis chapter 6, and I want you to see this one, and we're going to take our time because this is very important. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. What do you think he sees today? He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Man, it made him sick. He was upset. He was so upset. Look at verse 7. Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created off the face of the earth. I'm going to wipe him out. There's not going to be anybody left. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to destroy both man and beast and the creeping thing and the birds of the air, for it repents me. I'm even sorry that I made them. That's God talking. But look at verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God, God has always had a man on the earth that didn't bow down to Satan. Thank God he's always had a man on the earth. Before Noah, it was Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And then if you read the scriptures, Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. He warned people of sin. He warned people of God's judgment. He was a man of God. God wanted to wipe out man from the earth, but he chose love. He thought about Noah. In verses 11 through 13. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, because the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This is God. Oh, but he's such a loving God. Yeah, he chose love. Now listen closely. Because then he gave Noah the instructions on how to build the ark and what to do and who to put on it. And he instructed. And we know God chose love later on down the road and delivered the children of Israel from Egypt slavery, and how God gave the children of Israel commandments to live by so he could bless them if they would obey him. God didn't give us commandments to put us in bondage. He gave us commandments to save us and to put us in a position, if we'll choose what He tells us to do, so we can walk in His blessing. So we can walk in His blessing. Come on, help me. But we have to have everything my way. God chose love by setting up the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices of bulls and goats to temporarily cover the sins of mankind He created on the earth, instead of wiping them out like He wanted to do. But as usual, man would continually sin and break every commandment that God had given them. Every time Israel, they would sin and go after other gods, and then God would allow the enemy to take them over for a certain amount of years, and then all of a sudden they'd cry out to God and repent, then He'd bail them out, and all of a sudden they'd do the same thing again and again and again. But instead of God destroying mankind from the face of the earth, He chose love. He sent His only Son to the earth to die for the very ones who had no love or respect for Him at all. Think about that. He sent His own Son to die for people who lied about Jesus and spit on Jesus and talked behind Jesus' back and had no respect for who He was. Yet God chose love, chose Jesus to die for the very ones. Sin has separated mankind from the kind of love that God had placed in our hearts from the very creation. God chose love over judgment by sacrificing His own Son on a cross and placing the punishment for sin that we deserved on Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, give Him a hand. That's what He did for us. Jesus didn't have to die and face hell and the suffering of the cross, but Jesus also chose love. Jesus had a choice. He had a choice. When the guards came to take Him out of the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulled out his sword, cut off a guard's ear by the name of Malchus, and Jesus had to stick it back on. And Jesus said, "Peter, put away your sword." He said, "Don't you know that I could pray to my Father and He would presently right now give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Matthew 26 and verse 52 and 53. He said, "Then put away your sword. He that takes the sword will perish with the sword. Don't you know," in verse 53, "I can call down more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion was 6,000 soldiers. 6,000. More than 12 legions of angels would be equal to more than, listen, 72,000 angels. Jesus wanted Peter to know, listen, if I choose your way, there's no hope for man. But I've got to choose love. He could have called down all those angels and there would have been nothing but smoke coming up from the ground, just like there was when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have wiped out all the guards. He didn't have to go to the cross. But listen, then there would be no hope for us to make heaven. Come on. He would have lost. Come on. He would have blown the plan that God sent Him here to do. He had a choice. He had a choice. He had a choice to make, and He willingly chose love. We're going to get into this a little bit further. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy," or you could say the love, "that was set before Him, He endured the cross, He despised the shame, and now He sat down at the right hand of God." Amen. He had a choice to make. And you and I was the love that was set before Him. It was love for you and I that took Him to the cross. He had a little bit of a revelation by reading Isaiah, what He was going to have to go through. He knew for the first time in His existence, He would have to be separated from His Father. Think about that a minute. And that's good news for us this morning and everyone else. That Jesus loved us so much that He took our place on the cross, and that makes us shout amen. It's easy on the flesh when we hear this, but let me just say something that's not so easy on the flesh, but must be told. Because Jesus chose love, He commands us to choose love as well. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Hopefully we can touch a nerve here this morning. It's not an option. It's a command. It is a command. He said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. What is it? It's a commandment. It's not an option. When you buy a car, there's options. Amen. There's always options when you buy a house. There's no options here. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It is a commandment. He's saying, you must choose love. Help me out just a little bit. And when you keep that commandment, he said, it's a new commandment. When you keep the commandment of love, then you'll keep all the rest of them. Amen? If you choose love, you're not going to be ill to your neighbor, not going to choose other gods, you're not going to lie to people, you're not going to steal from people. That's why love's the fulfilling of the law. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10 says this, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not kill, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness. You know, it's amazing that he had to write this to the church. Church folk, come on now. Shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You remember when that lawyer came to Jesus? Oh, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've done that. Jesus said, well, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told him about the Good Samaritan. Remember that? Man was going through town, got beat up by strangers, left there laying for dead. And here come a priest and just bypassed him, went on the other side of the road. And here come a Levite. Here come a church member on the way to church. Just, oh, God, just bless them, bless them, bless them. Go on about their way. But here comes a Samaritan and takes him up and binds him up and takes him to a motel and gets him all ready. And he told the keeper of the inn, he said, listen, he said, I got to take a trip. He said, here's some money to take care of this man. And if it takes more money than what I'm giving you when I come back, I'll give you the rest. Jesus said that was a man that loved his neighbor. Come on, someone he didn't even know. We can't even get along with people in the church, let alone someone else. Oh, thank you for that one amen. But do you see how powerful it is? Why do you think the enemy does everything he can to keep you from choosing love? Here's what the Lord told me. Love is the highest form of spiritual warfare. It's the highest form of spiritual warfare. Why do you think the flesh hates to hear these kind of messages? Joyce Meyer has written hundreds of books, and she wrote a book one time called The Love Revolution. And she said it was the least sold book that she ever wrote. Oh, people bought all the books about healing and all the books about prosperity, but when it comes to love, they just didn't want to hear that. Why? Because the flesh fights against it the most. Amen. One of the hardest things to do when somebody hurts us is to let God handle it by choosing love. Come on, let me say that. One of the hardest things to do when somebody hurts us, we want to retaliate. We want to tell them about it. It's the hardest thing to do is choose love. There are people that haven't spoken to one another for years because somebody failed to choose love. And they're living miserable lives. I know some of them. They're miserable. Boy, it gets quiet, don't it? This is the hardest teaching that Jesus ever taught us, but boy, did he hammer on it. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 through 48. This is tough. You think it's tough on you? Try walking in my shoes. I say to you, you is you. He's talking to us. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, does that take faith. The only time the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith, is when he told Peter that you have to forgive 7 times 70 in one day. Well, they said, man, increase our faith. Hard thing to do. Why did he say verse 44, verse 45? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. This is a spiritual law that we're commanded to do. And then what he said here makes sense. If you love them which love you, it's easy. He said the sinners all do. Anybody can do that. And if you only greet your brothers and, you know, what do you do? You're not doing any more than anybody else. You see, even the sinners do that. It's easy to walk up and tell somebody that you really love that you love them. And then you see people that just tell people they love them and they don't. They have them for lunch. People get so religious. I just love you with the love of the Lord. Right. We were the enemy. You wouldn't believe what we've been through. But anyways, we're still here. The enemy, we started out and preaching in a certain church down here. It was a Presbyterian church. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I didn't even want to come over here. I lived in Pennsylvania at the time, and the pastor called me. Please, can you come over? Please, I need you. Oh, and I didn't want to go. And then the Lord said, go ahead, and God wants you to go. And then to make a long story short, he left the church for a certain reason, and I started preaching and falling in love with the people, and they started coming, and the church started growing, and things were happening, and I think we had record attendances there because of the Word of God that was being preached. And right in the middle of it, the Presbyterians found out about it, and they didn't like it because they couldn't control it. So I had to go to one of their meetings. And this lady, she's gone, she's dead now. She goes, oh, Brother Jeff, let me give you a Presbyterian hug. And when she did, I felt the knife come right up in my back. I said, oh, I don't need any more of these Presbyterian hugs here. Amen. Because they were upset because I was not a Presbyterian. And they wanted me to be a Presbyterian. And I'm not going to be a Presbyterian, a Baptist. I'm going to be a Christian. That's what I'm going to be. Oh, well. Do you believe in that? They tried to catch me, but they couldn't. What I did, I took a Presbyterian book, and I had all their doctrine memorized. And I knew more about their doctrine than they did. And, oh, do you believe in doctors? Like we don't believe. I said, absolutely. I said, if it wasn't for doctors, I said, there'd be a lot of dead Christians. It's true. I said, Luke himself. So anyway, after that, that's the truth, come on. So they go, well, we want you to sit here. We're going to have our meeting. And this guy had a cigar in his mouth and all come out. And we would only ask that you preach 2 times a year over here. But would you just stay here till we find somebody else? Well, you know what I did? Went straight to Ella Mae's house. It was me and her in the kitchen, Ella Mae Gully. And another saint that went on to be with the Lord. And I told her, I don't think I'm going to come back over here. I didn't want to put up with all that. I mean, you should have heard that. I mean, if I preached past 10 minutes, they were rattling their car keys. That's the truth. And one lady told me, well, next week, if you preach longer than 15 minutes, I'm going to bring my lunch and I'm going to start eating my chicken right in front of everybody. I mean, it's terrible. And then my wife was trying to help the nursery grow, and well, one of the ladies goes, I went down in the nursery just to see what your wife looked like. I said, I hope I should give you a good view. Mary told me that. I had all these bad thoughts. But we had to choose love. And Ella Mae, she hammered down. She hit the countertop with her fist. Some of you that know Ella Mae, she had a boldness about her. You are going to come back here. We will never, we are not, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so I chose love and we're here. And now you got to put up with all these teachings and give the Lord a hand. But you don't know. These are the hardest teachings that Jesus taught us to obey. We somehow like to bypass this teaching and go on to a different kind of teaching that doesn't require so much demand on our flesh. Love many times is the hardest, listen closely, it's the hardest thing to do, but it is the only thing that the Bible says will never fail. Help me out just a little bit. It's actually a test to prove how close your relationship is with Him. You know how hard, let me just say this. Do you know how hard it is for a pastor to be in a room with people that don't even like you? Can I give you just a little bit of revelation today? Not everybody's going to like you. Little Ruth, she just hugs me. You're such a wonderful man. I said, it depends on who you talk to. Because I'm going to stay with the Word, regardless of who likes it, regardless of who don't. Come on. It's not always popular. And you're in a room where people, some people love you, and you can tell some people don't even want you there, and you have to love on them when the flesh wants to do otherwise. It's easier when it's a woman, but boy, is it tough when it's a man, Chuck. Oh. And he's looking at you like, and then I'm getting all these thoughts I shouldn't get. And I've already wanted to say, buddy, you don't, but no, you can't. You can't. Hello? You have to choose love. Amen. Years ago when I started, I thought I had to do everybody's funeral, everybody's wedding. Somebody died down the road and there was a rough cut bunch and some of it. And so the guy comes to me and goes, oh, listen, please will you do grandma's funeral? Everybody wants you. I mean, the whole family wants you. So I go in, and this family here is like smiling at me, and there's a fight going on between families, and the other ones here like, I'm going to kill you for this. I'm thinking, oh! You'd be surprised. So I called the guy back. I said, listen. I said, I thought, you didn't tell me your family's having a feud. And I said, I'm going to tell you this. I said, I'm going to preach to please God and nobody else in that room. He goes, that's why I want you, Pastor Jeff. I knew you would, yeah. It's tough. I had to, and I still have to make myself choose love. And when I choose to yield to it, even when my flesh is fighting the hardest against it, listen, then the Holy Spirit will override my flesh. Amen. It's called spiritual warfare at the highest level. That's what it is. Amen. No one had a greater revelation of love in the Bible than the writer John. No, he was called the apostle of love. And I want to read what John wrote back here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another. He had to tell the people in the church. Where's the enemy going to stir up? In the church? Let us love one another. Why? For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. Doesn't mean they're not saved. They just haven't had a revelation. Too many people have made Jesus Christ their Savior and not their Lord. And it's just a fact. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us And he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Help me out just a little bit. Verses 18 through 21. So when you get in a situation in life and the old flesh wants to take over, I want you to hear these words. Choose love. Choose love.
Yeah, but I'm a...
Choose love.
But you don't know what they did.
Choose love. And the old flesh will kick and cry like little babies. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear has torment, and God doesn't want any of his children living in torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. They don't have that revelation of love. We love him because he first loved us. Boy, here's one that's hard on the toes. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. He's not talking about your blood brother here, even though he could be. He's talking about anybody in the church. He's talking to the church. He's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he's not seen? And this is the commandment. This is the commandment, not an option. This is the commandment we have from him. He who loves God loves his brother also. Man, I wish this would get a little easier. But do you see the power of love when we yield to it? Verse 18. It has the power to destroy fear. God doesn't want anybody to be in torment to fear. Fear claimed the lives of so many people during the year of 2020. More people died of fear than they did of COVID. They were locked up in their apartments, scared to death to go out. They found a bunch of them dead. They starved to death. They were scared to death. But if they would have known the power of love of the love of God, it would have saved them. Paul told Timothy in Galatians 5 and 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision matters, neither uncircumcision matters, but the only thing that matters is faith which works by love. Faith, which... Anybody getting their toes stepped on today besides me? Come on, help me out just a little bit. The saddest people... And listen, I've been in the ministry for many, 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 many years. 25 years out on this hill and years before we came here. But the saddest people on planet Earth all have one thing in common. They lack the love of God. They lack the love of God. Just look what they're doing today. Standing outside of buildings and protesting and just dropping the F-bomb when it comes to Donald Trump. These are politicians. And man, you look at them and you think, oh my God, look at the hate coming out of them. I mean, it's terrible. Amen. They don't know the Lord at all. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. As the Father loved me, so I've loved you. He said, continue in it. Continue. Hurry up and get done, Pastor. we're gonna be here for just a little while. He said, continue in it. And then he said, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. I did what he told me to do. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. He's telling you this for your benefit. There are people that are disgruntled and they are unforgiving and they can't sleep at night. And they're not even affecting the one that they're mad at. They could care less. Hello? The one they're mad at could even care less. Care less. But the enemy is keeping them in bondage to unforgiveness and bondage. And all of a sudden they can't sleep at night and they lose their joy. And Jesus said, I'm telling you to do this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. Then he says in verse 12, this is my commandment. Here it is again, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this. And they sang it this morning, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to say, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. This is so important, church. I know it's one of the hardest things to do in the flesh. I understand that. But it's a command. And it's a form of warfare. And if you want to walk in healing and you want to walk in peace, and man, you have to make your flesh do this. It was so important that when Paul wrote his letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, here's one of the things he prayed, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being what? Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. So when the enemy tries to sway you and get you mad at somebody, no, you're rooted and grounded. You are going to choose love. You're not going to choose to retaliate. You're going to choose love. And when you choose love and stand back and watch God work it out, it'll be so much better than you trying to work it out. Come on, help me out just a little bit. And then verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with everybody else, all the people in the church, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. Why? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants you to know the love of Christ. He said, without it, if you don't choose love, you will never experience God's fullness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be half full. I want to experience all of it. Don't you? Come on. But I can promise you something after 46 years of being saved. Love will always cost you something. It cost Jesus his life. Sometimes it'll cost you your time. Sometimes money. Many times you'll have to swallow some pride to avoid an argument. Even when you think you're right, choose to shut up and let the other people win the argument so it won't become a blowout. In a marriage, even I know when I know I'm right, I let my wife think she's right just so we don't have a fight. She's not here, so I can say that. Am I right? Sometimes you need to choose just to shut your trap. Yeah, but I got to give them a piece of my mind. That's the worst thing you could do, especially when it's not renewed to the Word of God. Because you're going to get mad, you're going to cuss, you're going to backslide, and all of a sudden you're going to be sorry for it. But it's amazing. We'll go to the grave thinking that we're right. Nobody's right when they choose not to choose love. Are you listening? Nobody's right. When you feel God telling you to give somebody something who never gives anyone anything, and you know they won't even appreciate it, but you know God is telling you to do it, choose love. Choose love. Go where that thing is and go bless them with it. Amen. Come on. Yeah, but I know they won't appreciate it. They never say thank you. The only time they want anything out of me is when they want. You got a lot of growing to do, honey. Choose love. You'd be surprised what it'll do. Amen. Whatever God's telling you to do, choose love. When you finally get a day off and you got plans to do something for yourself and someone calls and needs your help that day. And you know you should choose love, but you, come on now. And then you're out there doing your own thing and you're being convicted and you know you should have helped that person. Just choose love. God will give you another day off. Come on, help me out just a little bit here. It's never easy where everybody would be doing it. But the rewards are so great. The rewards are so great. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14 says this. Brethren, you have been called unto a liberty, but don't use your liberty or your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're free. In other words, Paul said, we're free to do whatever we want to, but we need to choose love. You guys can wait on
have
people
to.
Ready to go. Thank you. We can live the way we want to live and say what we want to say and choose what we want to do. Amen? But I've learned this over the years. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're Christians if you have love one to another. That's how. He said, all men will know. Amen? Amen. All men will. I want to go back to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to close here in a few minutes. And anybody going to choose love? When you're home today with your spouse and something happens, are you going to choose love? Let me tell you, why do you think some of your spouses are so quiet and don't want to talk? Because you've beat them down so much over the years, they've hurt it so much that they just shut it off. Hello? It's terrible when they won't even argue with you anymore. You can't even get a fight out of them because they shut you down because... No, I didn't say husbands, I said spouses. Boy, it gets quiet. Am I telling the truth? Hopefully I'm hitting a nerve here today somewhere. But look what we're going to go back to 1 John 3, verse 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to do the same thing. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That doesn't mean literally, but it means put your will under once in a while to help somebody else fulfill their will. Amen? For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion and don't even worry, how dwells the love of God in that person? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be real. Amen? Let us not love in word or deed. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. That, you know, so many people just say that as a habit, a religious thing. It's not what we say, but it's what we do. And when you do this, do it without telling everybody else about it. Because what you do in secret, God will reward you openly for. Hebrews 6 and 10. Look what it says here. God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He knows what you do, which you have showed towards his name, and you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He's not. He sees everything you do. Now put 10:24 up there for me, Ash. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that's why Paul said, go on. And he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. It's something, listen, it's something, church, that we have to choose if we're going to live the kind of life that God designed for us to live. It's never easy. Amen. It's never easy. But if you're saved, listen closely, if you're saved, the love of God is on the inside of you by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5 says this, hope makes not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is something you can do if you choose to. It's up to us to choose to walk in it. And I found out over the years, it takes more faith to walk in love than it does to get healed. It takes more faith to walk in love than it does to get somebody delivered. It takes more faith to walk in love. But thank God that we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. Jesus would never command you to do anything that he will not give you the ability and the power to do if you'll just back up and let him do it. Amen. Jude, the brother of James, and man, you can tell he's like James because of his chapter he wrote in the Bible. He only wrote one chapter. James talks about the tongue, but Jude talks about the wicked and evil people that's on the earth. He talks about how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He talks about in the day all the wicked people that we're going to have to put up with. And that's why he starts out in the first three verses. He said, we're to contend for the faith. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, peace, love be multiplied to you. And then he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you, look here, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Why? Because so many people lost it. He said, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith that our forefathers had once. And then he goes on, if you'll read it in your quiet time, to speak of all the people that's going on in the world. And everything he describes we see today. But verses 20 through 23, after he talks about all these people, he said, but you, beloved, you, he talks about all the wicked, but he said, you, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He basically says for us to keep ourselves in the love of God so we can help other people get saved, because love is the only thing that's going to do it. Beating somebody over the head with a big black Bible and telling them they're going to go to hell, that's not going to do nothing. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And I'm going to close by giving you a test. And I'm just going to read what we call the love chapter. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's only 13 verses. But I just want to close with this because it's so very important. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal that Brody beats on every Sunday morning. Yeah. Oh, I speak in tongues. I go to the church. And yeah, I heard what you said about so-and-so. Doesn't mean nothing. It's going to get better. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, which nobody does, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Not one amen. Though I bestow, oh, here we go. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. No reward. Love suffers long. What's that mean? It gives us the ability to put up with folks. It's kind. It doesn't envy itself. Doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up, prideful. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. If you're easily provoked, maybe you're not walking in love. It doesn't think evil of anyone. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, talking about good things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. It's the only thing in the Bible that says will never fail. Will there be prophecies? They're going to fail. Will there be tongues? One day they'll cease. We won't even need them anymore. Whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, because none of us know everything. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And then he goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I didn't get upset like the little kid on the playground and throw my toys down and go home. Hello? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know even as also I am known one day. But now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning. So when you find yourself this week, and you will, we all do, when you find your flesh rising up, choose love. Take a step back, be quiet, and let God work. Amen? Amen. Father, we're so thankful today for what you've done, and not only what you've done, but what you're going to continue to do. And Lord, I just want to pray again for Ruth and the family as they've been by her bedside for a couple of weeks now. Lord, I just pray right now that the peace of God will fill that room, fill that house. And Lord, that every one of us will make a quality decision in life, because we have opportunities each and every day of our life, whether it's with a family member, whether it's somebody on the job, whether it's somebody out in the public that does something that's not favorable to us. Help us all. Give us the divine ability to choose love. Not that we're doormats, but give us the opportunity to choose love and to let you take care of stuff. And we give you the praise, Father. We give you the glory for not only what you've done, but what you're going to continue to do in the lives of your people. And once again, I pray for all those that are sick today. I know there's a lot of them. Father, bless them today. Those watching by live stream that stayed home because they're sick, I ask that you heal them today. Bless them in every area of their life. Help us to choose love so we can walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.